I love dogs. How many of you guys like dog videos? Dog video or cat video? Cat videos, raise your hand. Dog videos. Yeah, right? Cats stink. Hate cats. So, I love that video because the thing about that video is that that dog is just running around. What's he doing? He's looking for his owner, right? And he has no clue where his owner is, but he can hear the voice of his owner. And so it makes him continue to like search, and he runs around, and he's going nuts, and he has this like crazy look in his face, like I do most of my day, right? And so as he's running around, we know he's looking for something because he hears the voice of someone. And as I watched that video over and over, I was like, that's me. Like, that's me almost every single day with God. I'm like, I hear your voice, God, and I'm looking for you, but sometimes it's hard to find you. It's hard to see where you are because we serve an invisible God. And because we serve such a huge God who can't be contained by a body, who can't be contained by our descriptions, he's so huge and so big that there's no way for us to see God, the Bible says. And because I can't see him, sometimes I feel like that dog and I'm running around. I'm like, God, I want to find you, God. And I hear his voice and I start running. I'm looking for him. I'm like, God, where are you? But sometimes it's hard for me to kind of picture what I'm doing. There's like this confusion that sits in my heart. And tonight, John's going to be talking to us a little bit because we're still in 1 John about God's nature. And this big invisible God that for the world is like, he's impossible to see. He's impossible to even imagine or comprehend in your mind. And so the world just sits back and just runs around chasing their tail, kind of, so to speak, because they're like, where's God? And John says, but there's a way to see him. And you don't have to run around confused all the time because God has set up this awesome way for us to be able to interact with him. And I'm not going to spoil the surprise yet because John wants to tell us that tonight. We're in 1 John chapter 4, and we're starting in verse 7. Will you guys read that with me real quick? And you'll see what I'm saying here. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us. It became real among us. That God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we've loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the substitute for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. John writes about love in every single one of his letters. He is the guy who understands love so well because he's also the guy who Jesus looked at and said, this is my best friend. I mean, John was this guy who was in Jesus' closest personal circle of friendships. He walked with Jesus. He did ministry with Jesus. He got to watch Jesus bend down and talk to little children that nobody else, everyone else was like, get those snotty-nosed kids out. And Jesus was like, bring them to me. Let me talk to these kids. Lepers would come up and they'd be all disgusting and have wounds and all this nastiness from leprosy. And everybody would be like, God, get back there unclean. And Jesus would say, get over here. Let me put my arms around you. Let me touch you. Let me heal you. Poor beggars would be sitting blind by the side of the road who would smell because they hadn't showered in months or bathed in months. I don't know if they had showers, right? So, and Jesus would be walking with a crowd who would be like, shut up, beggar. Be quiet. Do you know who this is? And Jesus would say, who was that? Bring him to me. I want to talk to that guy. And John all along got to sit and watch these incredible acts of love from his Savior Jesus. I mean, he got a first row seat to the love that Jesus was showing people that you and I would consider unlovable. Most of us aren't going to sit at lunch with a leper. Probably not going to give him hugs. We're not going to go to a leper colony and start shaking hands. They might fall off anyway, right? So it's not bad. Too soon? I don't know. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, we wouldn't, but Jesus would. Jesus did. And so you're like, well, that's kind of a culture that's so far away, Rob. I can't relate to that. But you can relate to that if you put yourself in your everyday life and think about the people in your life that you might walk kind of a little further on to the other side of the hallway when you see them walking down the hall. Or you go to lunch and you avoid that lunch table because I can't be with those people. You're starting to see the scenario for you and I that the people that are kind of hard in your mind or your heart to love are the people that Jesus was like, let me wrap my arms around you. I love you. And John got to see that firsthand. And so as John wrote these letters to us, he's writing about the thing he saw most in Jesus. This incredible love that he had for people that nobody else seemed to love. And he's saying something. I've noticed in Jesus a love that tells me that God is, by very nature, love. And so if you're here and you're saying, I believe in Jesus, but I don't love people, then John's looking back and going, remember those tests I was giving you throughout the first whole part of this letter about, is this sincere faith? He's like, here's one for you. Do you really love? Because sincere faith in someone who is love means that you love too. You say, I want to be like Jesus. I want to walk and live like Jesus. Well, guess what? He was love. And so if you're not, if there's no love growing in your heart as the Holy Spirit's growing you, then you might not be on that path towards growing to Jesus. It might not be a sincere faith in you. John would say, you need to check that. And so look at verse 7. He says, beloved, here's the command. Let us love one another. For love is from God. Just, how you doing with that? Can you do a self-check tonight? Can you just kind of think through your week or think through your day, even a day? Or maybe you're not tonight, this afternoon that you've arrived at Firehouse. Has God put this love inside of you for other people that as you look around the room, you're looking and saying, man, these are people that God's created. These are people that Jesus died for. And Jesus loves them so much. How can I seek out people in this room to love well, to serve well, to find out if there's people going through things tonight that I can't even imagine, but maybe God's called me to be here tonight just to meet them so maybe I can meet a need in their life. And I'm not talking about, I know some of us are nervous. I am such a shy person myself. And growing up, I was so shy. Some of you guys know me well enough. You've heard my stories about going to school when I was younger. And I couldn't even keep my food down going to class. You know, I'd get sick every single day going to my class because I was so shy. And it was hard for me when a pastor would get up and say, listen, you need to reach out to people. You need to love people. You need to talk to people. I'd be like, but no, it makes me so scared out of my mind to do that. And then one day you're on a stage in front of a group of people and you're not throwing up anymore. And God's done some work in your heart, and God's allowed you to be able to stand and preach the gospel because you've said yes to God. By my own strength tonight, I wouldn't be here. I'd be out back, so nervous I would have got my car and drove away tonight because of just that timidity, that fear in me. But God said, no, I don't give you the spirit of fear. I give you the spirit to preach my gospel, power and love and a sound mind, he says. And so I'm talking to the shy ones right now. I know I'm just kind of on a side thing because that's me. And God might not be calling you to stand up on a stage and preach some big sermon, so don't freak out yet, all right? But he is calling you to love people. And sometimes that does require you to step out of your comfort zone, whatever that might look like for you. Maybe it's your shyness. Maybe it's just I don't really like people. Well, maybe God's calling you to love people. And to go around and just say, hey, look, I love you. Is there anything I can do for you? Can I pray for you? Can I have eyes that look around the room and say, how can God use me in your life? What does loving one another look like for you where you're at? In the classes you go to during the day, in the sport that you play, in the family that God's given you, what does loving one another look like for you? And I can tell you that it starts within the body of Christ, right? Because one another, he's talking about believers first and foremost. And hopefully you're here tonight, you're going to find a lot of people who believe in Jesus. And we've come to this place, most of us, to say we believe Jesus is alive. And we're going to come together on a Wednesday night and we're going to shout it out. We're going to sing it and we're going to clap our hands and we're going to celebrate and hear God's word because we believe Jesus is alive and that's why we're here. That's why we do this thing. Because it's all about Christ. And so as you look around, God's saying, hey, that's awesome. Now, what I'm calling you to do is look at the people to your left and your right. I want you to love them. That's why we do this little thing called life groups. Right after this, we break up in life groups, and some of you guys like sneak out the side and like jump in your car and go to Chili's or whatever. Like I'm skipping out of life groups. Some of you guys are raising your hand like that's me. All right, I'm looking for you after. Make sure you don't do that. Listen, don't do that. Life groups is so that you can get together and do this, so that you can get with other people. Because look at how big this group is. It's hard in a group of 70 kids or whatever's in here to look around and be like, how can I serve all of you? How can I hear all your needs? So we put you in smaller groups so you can love some people well around you. Do that. Take advantage of that. When you go to life groups tonight, that's what I want you to do. I want you to go around and be honest with each other and say, how can I serve you? How can I go out of my way for you this week? How can I love you well? Because God's called us to love one another. And then he says, for love is from God, and that's why we should do it, right? And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. So that's how you know your faith's genuine. Because you have this thing in you that says, I want to love other people. Nobody's twisting my arm. Like, God, you did this for me when you died on the cross. Let me love other people. And anyone who doesn't love, he says, doesn't know God. Because God is love. I know this story I heard, and I was just in like maybe first grade, and I was sitting in an old country church down in South Florida, and I heard this old country pastor tell this story. It's those good old type of stories. And this guy was a homeless man, and he was walking through this town because he was like a kind of a bum. He just went from like town to town. He had no home. And he was walking through this one town, and as he's walking, he's rolling hills, and he passes this cemetery, and it was like, I don't know what the name of the church was, like, let's just call it like Calvary Church. And it was a seminary, and a cemetery, not a seminary. It's kind of the same thing sometimes. But anyway, and so he's walking by that, and he walks up, and he's seeing these beautiful houses and rolling hills, and it just looks like such a great town. And it's a little chilly out, and he sees the fireplaces, the chimneys, kind of some smoke coming up, and he knows people are in there. And he comes up to this one house because he is starving. Like, he's homeless, right? So he's going to beg for food. He's starving, and he's thinking, this is a good place. I see this big church up on the hill. It's got this huge cross on it, and I see all this, like, these awesome houses. These people must be kind. They've got to. And so he walks up to the house that looks the warmest to him, and he knocks on the front door, and this big southern man comes to the door, and he answers, and he says, sir, like, I don't mean to bother you, but I'm hungry. Is there any way you could just give me some food, a plate of food, and I'll be on my way. I'm not going to stay long. I won't bother you. Just anything you can spare. And the man just looks at him and he says, oh, yeah, for sure. No problem. He just, hold on 1 second. And he closes the door. The guy's just standing there. He's waiting. He's like a little chilly out. And he's like, I wonder where he went. A couple minutes later, he hears some dishes like clanging inside the house. And the door starts to open again. It creaks open. And the guy said, all right, here's what I want you to do. Just go ahead around back of the house. Go right around that way. Follow a little walkway. And meet me out back on the back porch. He says, okay, so he closes the door, and that guy goes around the sidewalk, and he comes up to the back porch, and he waits at the back door for a few minutes, and he sits down on the steps because he's tired. He's been walking a long way, and as he sits there, he hears the door open again. And there's that big dude, and he walks out, and he's got a plate of food. He's like, yeah, sit right there, and he hands him a plate and lets the guy sit there on his back steps, and the guy starts eating. And the man says, is there anything else I can do for you? He says, no. This is good, thank you. He said, all right, my brother. He said, I hope you enjoy the meal. And he starts to turn around, and he's walking back in his house, and the guy looks up, and he says, brother? So why'd you call me your brother? He said, well, because I'm having you here in my house. And he said, I'm not in your house. He said, would your brother ever have to sit on your back steps to eat a meal? Would you not invite your brother inside and let him sit at your table? He said, I'm grateful for the food, don't get me wrong, but I don't see how I'm your brother and I have to eat on your back porch. And as I think about the story, I know I might be excessively hard on the guy in the house, but I hear the truth about it And I relate it to my own life and say, how many times do I say that I'm doing something so loving and think that I'm doing something so good for someone, but really I'm holding people at arm's length? And in my life, I'm saying, hey, yeah, sit on the back porch. You know what I'm saying? It's not about the porch or the steps or how far the guy got in the house. But in my life, I'm telling people, you just stay out here. I want to do something good for you, but I just don't want to let you in. It's more comfortable to leave you out there. It's safer to leave you out there than to invite you into my life. And a lot of times I love that way. I go around and I want to do good things. I want to serve in good ministries. I want to do homeless feedings. I want to do these things. But the whole time I'm just kind of doing the thing and saying, here I go. And I check it off my list and I'm like, yeah, look at me. I did something good. I went on a mission trip. Yes. I fed some homeless people. Yes. I served over at House of Hope. I did enlist it. And then I do this little check mark and I feel really good. I'm like, I must be so loving. Can you believe it? Like, look at me. And the whole time I'm leaving people sitting on my back porch. Because never once do I sit and go, man, how can I bring you into my life? Remember the whole first part of John that we studied was about Jesus becoming flesh. To do what? To live among us. Not to leave us on the back porch. And so when Jesus says love, he means to do more than just serve people and leave it at that. What Jesus is saying is be willing to take them into your life. Be willing to go into their life. Don't just mark check marks off your list to say this is what I've done, but actually love people. Let them become part of your family. If I was your brother, I'd be at your table, right? I wouldn't be sitting on your back steps. Make them your family. Now, some of you guys are going to take me so literally, you're going to walk out of here, you're going to get a homeless person, and you're going to bring them back to your house tonight. Your parents are going to go home and be like, what? What's going on? I'm not saying that, so don't get me wrong. Don't hear me wrong. What I'm saying is that sometimes we need to open our hearts up a little wider than what we think. It's too easy to check that box when we go to church. We need to open our hearts up just a little more to where people can actually have access into our lives. So he says love. And then look what he says in verse 9. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us. This is how we see God's love among us, is what he's saying. This is how it became real for us. Are you ready? God sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him. What is that? It's this thing called the good news. It's the gospel. This is love, he says. You want to see love? I'm going to show you love. That God sent Jesus to die on a cross, to come into this world, to live among you, to take your sin from you, to wear your shame so that you can be free. So you can be forgiven and have everlasting life. Man, my heart longs for some of you guys here tonight that have never accepted that good news. Some of you that hear us every single week talking about, hey, this is great news. Jesus died for you, and you hear it, and you've been hearing it, and the Holy Spirit's been talking to you, but you haven't responded yet to say, I want Jesus to forgive me. I'm praying. We prayed earlier, the leaders got together, and we prayed for some people tonight that have never done that, that the Holy Spirit would touch your heart, and tonight maybe be the night that you accept Jesus, and he change your life, and he forgive you, and give you eternal life. If that's you tonight and you're sitting here, will you spend a few moments even as I preach, just praying. Just say, God, that's me. Like, will you call me that way? Will you show me that I need Jesus? Because that is the picture of love. That Jesus would die. So how many of you guys have died for someone else? Don't raise your hand because obviously you'd be dead, right? It doesn't work. We know you're a liar. You haven't, right? But what he is asking us to do is lay our life down. That's hard to do if you leave someone on the back steps of your life. To take your whole life and say, I'm giving it for other people. I'm sacrificing my whole life for other people. Come on in. Let me love you. And it gets tricky because we don't like to hear this. This is a part where you're going to put your fingers in your ears and you're going to go, la, 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 la. I don't want to hear you, Rob. Be quiet. But God does mean some of you need to change your schedules up. It's America. Don't say that in America, right? Oh, what do you say? It's heresy. I have to give up some of these things that I love to do, my hobbies, my sports, my clubs, my all these things. I have to clear my schedule to make time to love people. And the cool thing is sometimes those two things overlap. Sometimes it's a matter of taking your schedule and saying, I'm going to use all these things I do to love the mess out of people. And sometimes it just gets in the way and you need to be willing to say, God, I'll sacrifice it. Whatever it is, I'll sacrifice it because I want to love people the way you've called me to do it. And that's a big deal. That's laying your life down in a way for Jesus. And so he says, and this is love. And he tells us it's the gospel. And that's, he says in verse 11, how we should love one another. There was another story. Tonight I'm telling old stories, I guess. But there was another old story I heard from an old pastor. And different one. And he said that there was this little boy. And the little boy got really, really sick. And some of you guys have heard this story. He got really sick and he needed a blood transfusion. And so this little boy went to the hospital and he had gone to the hospital over and over. And finally the doctors were like, he has to have a blood transfusion, but we need to have an appropriate donor. And they tested the family and there was just his little brother was there. He was the only one that was the right donor. But he was just a little guy. And so the doctor's like, man, well, you're gonna have to talk to your son. And if you guys are willing, he's the only person that can donate his blood to save your other son. And the dad's just like, oh, that's a mind blower. Put yourself in that situation. And so he says, I'll talk to him. And he pulls him out to the side room and he kind of explains your brother's really sick and he needs your help. And he says, the doctor's going to come in and he's going to explain some things to you. And he says, okay, sure. No, that's fine. I love my brother. I'll do anything. And so the doctor comes in. And he sits down with the little boy and he starts to explain this procedure. And he's just a little guy and it's hard for him to understand what's going on. But he's saying, we're going to take your blood and basically we're gonna put a tube in you and it's going to transfer your blood into your brother so that he can live. Because he needs a blood transfusion. And so the little boy's just looking at him and he's just like, whoa, you know. And he thinks for a couple seconds, then his eyes start to well up in tears. And the doctor says, what's wrong? He said, I'll do it. I love my brother. He said, but doctor, I just have one question. How long will it take before I die? And the doctor's like, what? What are you talking about before you die? He said, well, you're going to take all my blood and give it to my brother. So how long until I die? See, he totally misunderstood what the surgery was going to be, that he didn't have to give all of his blood. There he was, willing to say, God, take all of it. Not God, but doctor, take all of it because I love my brother. And I remember hearing that story as a little guy from this pastor and just thinking about my life and going, man, do I love people that way? And it might seem a little far-fetched for a little kid to do something like that, but then we talk about the gospel. And each of us literally have had someone die for us. Just as real as you're sitting here tonight, someone has died to save you. Someone gave their only son so you could live, so I could live. That's the picture of love that Jesus paints for us when he gives up his life so you can be saved. And he's saying if you grasp that love and you respond, then respond by loving other people. Let it put love in your heart. In verse 10, he says, in this is love. Not that we've loved God. Because, you know, you and I, we're just not that good of loving people. We can't even love God well. We're broken. We don't even know how. Like that little dog running around, that's us going, God, where are you? Hey, God, where are you at? I heard you something about you. I heard your voice. I know you're here somewhere. Maybe, possibly, I don't know. That's us. And what it takes is for God to go, hey, Rob, look over here. Rob, I love you. It takes for God to take his son and send him to a cross to die for me, to show me how much he loves me, for me to finally be able to go, I can't even grasp it, God. I could never love the way you love. But because you've done that for me, I love you back. You see, he makes it possible for you and I to be able to respond. True love is this. Are you ready? God reaching out and us responding. Because we can't start it ourselves. God's come to each one of you guys. Tonight, as I speak, we're hearing the words of his good news. You know what he's doing with his Holy Spirit as you're sitting out here tonight? As we're hearing his words? The Bible says that he's actively saying something to each of your hearts. He's extending his love to you. As you sit here, he's telling you how much he loves you. As you hear that his son died for you, he's saying, I love you and you and you and you. And some of us need to respond as believers and say, teach me to love that way back. I follow you, Jesus, but teach me to love like you. And others need to say, I've never responded. I've never asked you to forgive me. And tonight, I want to do that. I want to acknowledge you died for me, so save me, Jesus, and forgive my sins. But tonight, he's offering you that love. Will you receive it? Will you respond and love him back? You know, I think of like, I've seen a bunch of times on TV, like people like fall in the water, and it's kind of like a funny scene where someone falls in the water and they're splashing and they're like, I'm gonna die. And then all of a sudden their friend's like, put your feet down, bro. You know, like, have you seen that before? And they're like, oh, and they stand up and the water's like to their knee. And they're like, what? Like, I was actually not even drowning at all. And sometimes I feel like that can be me and God, where I'm in the water and I'm just flailing everywhere and I feel like I'm drowning and I'm so lost. And what it takes is to feel that foundation under my feet for me to be able to actually stand up. But if I were left alone, I'd probably drown. I'd never take that step. And so God's been good to us, and he said, hey, put your feet down. Put your feet down. I love you. I love you so that you can love me back. I love you so that you can love other people. I was watching a video. It reminds me of this next verse, verse 12. It says, no one has ever seen God. You and I have never seen him. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, and God abides in us, lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. You know what that means? People can see God's love through you. So as you and I live out the love of God, the world that couldn't see God before can all of a sudden see you serving them and loving them and getting them off the back steps and inviting them into your life. You know what they see? They see God living in you. An invisible God all of a sudden becomes visible through the way you love them. So I'm asking the church tonight, you guys, the believers, to stand up and say, let's show this community who God is. Let's love people so, so much that when they look at us and the way we serve them and come out of this place and go to our schools and our homes, that as those people we encounter are going, what? I can see God. He's right in front of me in the way you're loving me. But we got to be willing to respond to his love for us. And that's what I'm going to ask you tonight. Are you willing to respond to his love? There's a group of students who, you guys have probably seen this, it's been going around, it's been on Facebook, it's been on the news. Matt Denyer sent it to me the other night, again, and this is the one, that's the one I'm going to show you guys, but I want you to see what some students are doing, and they're not even doing it, as far as I know, because they love God. They're just doing it because they know it's right. And as I watched the video, I thought, what if a group of people who love Jesus decided to stand up and do it because they love God? And just watch the video and you'll understand what I'm saying. Can you guys show that video real quick? You don't have it? Okay. Well, then I'll explain the video. I'll act it out. It'll be just as good. Yeah, fat guy walking around on a stage. It'll be great. So there's a group of kids. You guys have probably seen it anyway. You can look it up later. It's on YouTube. But it's students who have gone into their schools and said, we know how it feels to eat lunch alone. It stinks. To go and have to sit like by yourself at the lunch table and nobody sits with you and nobody talks to you. And like it messes you up. It stinks to have to be alone. And in different places, like in class, nobody would talk to them. And they'd be in the hallways and they'd be all alone and they had no friends. And so what they said was like, we're tired of this. And they came together and they formed a group of people that would just go out and be the better person for other kids like them in their school. And they made up t-shirts and the name of their club was We Dine Together. Have you ever heard that? So every day before lunch, they get together and like one of them will just be like goofy and he'll be like, we dine. And the rest of them are like, together. And like, we dine. And they're like, together, and do a little chant. And they get goofy and have fun and get all jazzed up. And then they go get serious. And they go out into their lunch, their school during lunch, and they'll find kids that are eating all by themselves. And they'll just be like, hey man, I'm so-and-so. How are you? Can I eat with you today? Instead of going and finding their groups of friends that they want to go chill with and be with, they say, I'm going to leave that today to go be with someone who has no one. And this club, as far as I know, they're not even Christians. But shouldn't you and I, who God showed love to, want to be showing that love? Now, I'm not saying all of you guys are going to do that, but I hope some of you will start that. I hope you go back to FCA and go back to your school or wherever you're at and be like, we're going to do something like this to love the people who are all alone. And the rest of you guys, I want to just call you. Will you look into your life and be like, how can we do that? If it's not that club, I'm not saying start a club. But will you ask God, what ways will you have me serve people around me, let them know that they're not alone and that they're loved? Okay, because that's how we show God to the people around us who are running around like that dog going, God, where are you at? Let's be loved to the world, all right? Will you guys bow your heads and just pray with me? Just before I pray with your heads bowed, I want to ask you guys, because I think God's been working in some of you. I've been watching your lives, I've been seeing how you respond each week and talking to you throughout the week, and I know God's doing a work in your hearts. And I'm just wondering if tonight's the night that God's saying, hey, I want to save you. I want you to respond and ask me to forgive your sin, to give you eternal life. If that's you tonight, you're like, man, I want to be saved. I want to know Jesus and be forgiven. That's me, Rob. Will you just raise your hand up so I can see it, so I can pray for you? Just slide it up and say, that's me. Like, I want to be saved. I want to know who Jesus Christ is. I see your hands. Is there anybody else? Holy Spirit's been working in your heart. He's been saying, it's time. I love you. And tonight you want to say, I want to be saved. Will you just slide your hand up so I can pray for you? Thank you, guys. You can put your hands down. The rest of you, you know I'm coming at you, don't you? You know you're next. If you're here tonight, you're like, it's time for me to step up. I want the world to see God through the way I love. I want them to see His love in me that I'm not capable of. And Rob, I need prayer for that. Well, let me tell you what, I need prayer. So will you pray for me too? Will you pray for your pastor tonight? Because I need that prayer from you guys. And I want to pray for you that we be a youth group that says tonight, together, we're going to be those people. Will you slip your hand up in the air and say, that's me. I'm joining this thing. I want to be that. I want to be God's love to the world. Slide your hand up and say, that's us. We're that youth group tonight. It's awesome. Let me pray for us all tonight. And as I pray, will you pray too in your hearts? Pray for the ones around you who raise their hand. Pray for me. Pray for your leaders tonight that we be those people. God, thank you for loving us enough to give your only Son, Jesus Christ, who died a death that we deserve to die. God, thank you. Thank you that you rose again, that you gave us new life. Jesus, tonight we're praying, Lord, that you would help us to live out your love in front of people who I have no clue what love is. Jesus, help us to be that youth group that says it matters so much to us that we want to sacrifice our lives, invite people into our homes, off the back steps, and say, God, whatever we need to change, will you help us do that so we can love and the world can see you in us? We want to be those people. We love you, God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.